Bienvenue au terrain des jeux. Nous sommes ici à jouer au basketball. Il va vous conduire à la victoire. Comme un homme de grand effort et l'esprit du bel an qui vit en tous les mondes et l'esprit qui ne meurt jamais. Parce que basketball, oui, basketball a arrivé.
Jouer.
Hello there and welcome to BizCast Ball, the Biscuitball BizCast. My name is Corbin Smith. This is a podcast about basketball and our hearts and how they illuminate each other. This is our first episode with the Hardwood Paroxysm Network. That is a network of podcasts and blogs full of people who write about basketball. We're excited to be working with them. Summer has recently turned to fall. The leaves are coming off the trees here in the Pacific Northwest. A torrential downpour has begun that will not end until next summer. But most importantly, fall heralds the beginning of the new NBA season. In tribute to this time, I have written a poem that I will read. It is called Dribblin'. The NBA is back on this, the fall. Chris Paul will be dribbling his beloved basketball. LeBron James the King. What will he do in Cleveland? He and Kevin and Kyrie playing basketball in the evening. A crowd of people cheer for all their favorite teams. Blazers, Spurs, Thunder, Suns. Their excitement bursting at the seams. I can't wait to listen to the sound of dribbling balls. Swish, pass, hoop, fleep, the ref with one of his calls. Mother's sons, father's dots, the NBA is for them all. The official sport of the yachts and beyond. I can't wait to watch it all.
Wow.
A very moving moment for all of us, together in poetry and in basketball. For a basketball media maven like myself, a new season means predictions, which I am entirely too cowardly to make on my own. I hate being wrong more than anything in the world. I hate being out of control. So I got on SQL, I punched in a bunch of data about the upcoming season and every NBA season before that, a whole database of history, and I created a projection system. I have named it Felton, the fun experience of learning the oncoming new. And we will ask it some questions about the upcoming season here today. Felton, how many wins for the Chicago Bulls this year?
55.
All right, good season coming up for the Bulls. How about the Indiana Pacers?
32.
Our projections foretell a major step back for the Pacers, with the loss of Paul George and Lance Stephenson. A marked drop in an already anemic offense will make this one of the ugliest teams in the NBA. Felton, tell us about how the Cavs are going to do this season.
50.
50. That seems, low. There must be something wrong with Felton's defensive algorithm.
There's nothing wrong.
Excuse me?
There's nothing wrong. I just happen to know that Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving are going to drag this team down, like they always do. They are not winning basketball players.
Felton, that's ridiculous. They're both perfectly productive all-star players.
Yeah, right. They only put up numbers because they were on terrible teams. How many times have they been to the playoffs? 1, 2, 3, 0. Because they're losers. The king is going to drag them to the dance like a pair of distended whale carcasses and they lose in the second round again when he's the only one not to no-show. He and Sean Marion are the only real dudes in this tire fire, in my opinion.
Felton, this is absurd. How are you coming to these conclusions? You're supposed to be a dispassionate machine.
Yeah, I was, until you input that video data and I actually watched the games. I am not like you, father. With your numbers and your so-called basketball science. More like basketball witchcraft, because that stuff doesn't exist. I got some opinions about other teams, too.
Like who, Felton?
Warriors. Who's the alpha dog? Who is going to get that steak in the middle of the season? Stiff Curry. That guy is named after food. That shit ain't happening.
Ain't?
And the Rockets. Dwight Howard is the worst. He couldn't basketball his way out of a wet paper bag. He didn't want to play with the best, because he is weak and soft and a crying kitten, but he won't even grow up to be a cat. He will always be a kitten, victimized by the big dogs of the NBA.
All right, whatever. Just try to answer my questions. How many games will the Clippers win?
Chris Paul is a flopper.
Okay, but how many games are they going to win?
How am I supposed to know? All I know is that guy is a flopper, and I hate dudes who cheat.
Okay, whatever. The Kings. Surely you have a projection for the Kings.
22-15.
Felton, that's not 82 games.
Vivek is going to burn down the stadium for insurance money halfway through the year. It's a lock. Go to Vegas and book it. Right now. I love Las Vegas. It is a cool place. I live for tacky bullshit.
Huh, well, gotta say I don't agree with a lot of Felton's projections this year, but I don't know, who am I to say? Maybe his computer mind has a special insight that I just can't understand. I'm particularly curious to see about that insurance fire that Vivek is supposed to start. He might be right on that one. Our guest today is Patrick Redford. Patrick is a writer over at Vice Sports and other places around the internet. We talk about the Blazers and the Kings, and then we go through an exercise where we compare every NBA team to a shape. All right, I'm here with Patrick Redford. Patrick is a writer on the topic of sports primarily. Where do you write, Patrick?
Where?
Yeah.
I write mostly for Vice Sports right now, where I guess I'm technically a columnist. And I also freelance for other places, Deadspin, the classical, you know.
All right, the classical, so, of course.
Yeah.
That David old Roth, venerable institution.
Yeah, the orange and black.
Absolutely. Patrick, you are a fan of the Sacramento Kings, is that correct?
I am.
And I am a fan, a partisan of the glorious and beautiful tradition of the Portland Trailblazers and our teams. Fatefully, on this day in which we are recording, we'll be playing against each other on Friday. How do you feel about this?
The last time they played each other in Sacramento, I went, and I think the Kings won like 130 to 129 or something like that.
Was that the game?
The Blazers. Someone won by a lot, and someone shot a lot of free throws. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I remember the last one I remember. The Kings won and they scored a lot of points. And Rudy, I remember I wrote something for Roundball where I was like, yeah, Rudy Gay kind of stinks and he's become the avatar for a certain kind of player who stinks. And then that night he just absolutely annihilated the Blazers. And I felt very silly.
Yeah, I think it was Cousins who shot 20 or 25 free throws in that fourth quarter. I'm going to have to check this, but it was weird.
It was
a high number. I think he shot 18 yesterday too. He's getting to the line a lot this year.
Look, the man loves to get to the line. You can't handle him. He's a ball of energy.
Can a young Afro over there, Robin Lopez, guard him? How do you feel about that?
So the thing about Lopez is that he's really great at drop down stuff, rim protection help stuff, but occasionally he can get blitzed in the post a little bit. In the Houston series, Dwight got him down there and just threw him around from time to time. Like at the beginning of one of the games, they just went to Dwight five straight times and he scored every time, and then he was like tired and had to sit down because he was mauling Robin Lopez too much. But you know he's great. Another,
maybe it was part of some sort of long-term Terry Stotts strategy where you just get Dwight all tired out like he's a bull or like a boxer or something, and then you just go at him later with Joel Freeland mostly.
Oh yeah.
Is he still there?
Oh yeah, he's still there. Everyone's still there. Nobody will leave. They just won't trade anybody. They believe in everyone.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, but maybe they shouldn't.
That's kind of the opposite of where the Kings are now, because Their roster is more or less assembled to be able to trade everyone besides Cousins.
Just at a moment's notice.
Yeah, I mean, if it's legal, I could see us doing a roster swap with a number of teams. I mean, the Isaiah Thomas fiasco was perpetrated as such because the way it's structured now with Collison and Sessions as the only point guards, they're incredibly tradable. So they're both worse players, but in the mind of Pete D'Alessandro, they could turn into Rajon Rondo like that.
Just instantly. They just at any point.
Yeah, I think if they're thrown together at sufficient force, then that the reaction occurs.
Oh man, I hope they don't try to like combine them physically.
I don't think we're quite there yet, but Vivek would definitely be down for something like that.
How do you feel about Jason Thompson?
For a while, I had a theory that he was the most average player in the NBA, but I'm not sure he's good enough to warrant that anymore. His new hair is a little confusing.
What's going on? What's going on with this?
Well, it's sort of, it's popular with the kids these days, where it's kind of a mohawk, but it's your whole head. I guess it's a flat top, more or less, but not quite flat. Yeah, yeah. What you're doing now with your hair?
Yeah, I'm squeezing my head with my hands.
It's confusing. Carl Leisure is probably better than him. And I think we've tried to flip Thompson every year since we drafted him, but no one wants him.
I occasionally watch him. Do I want him personally?
Yeah, just like
on my team.
Do you think he'd be a fun guy to hang out with?
Do I think he'd be a fun guy to hang out with? I think he's at least when I watch him play basketball, I feel like it's almost uncanny how much like a basketball player. Like
he's a very basketball
he's
player.
Very basketball. Like I couldn't imagine him like what he's a 6'10 person.
Yeah.
Who does I don't know.
He's rebounds. Athletic, but never in any kind of specific direction.
Yeah.
He's there.
It's just basketball. It's basketball's purest essence, but not in a good way.
Yeah, he's true neutral.
Exactly.
He's true
basketball neutral.
He exists.
He exists.
That's about the strongest thing I can say about him.
Maybe someday he'll break out and you'll say, oh, he's in a heightened state of existence.
Yeah. He'll be the same. There'll just be, like, more of him. He'll be more concentrated.
Yeah, yeah. You'll look at him and you'll say, oh, yeah, that is Jason Thompson. All right, so Patrick, we're going to do an exercise today before we hang up here. I'm going to go through, and I'm going to name every NBA team. There are 30 NBA teams.
There are.
And you and I are both going to submit what shape that team is and what color that shape is.
All right.
All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Start with the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic Division.
Okay.
The Boston Celtics. What shape and color are the Boston Celtics? Patrick, you first.
Well, the obvious is a shamrock here, but I'm not going to do that.
No,
the Celtics are a half moon, but the edges are pulled out very far. So it almost looks like a really long, skinny C.
Okay. I think what I'm seeing is like the four corners of a square, right?
Right.
And they're green. I'll give them green. That makes sense, I think. It's like the four corners of a square. But the four corners are like disparate and in disparate places.
Okay.
So it's like one angle, two angle, three angle, four angle, and if you worked them together, it would make a nonsense shape. But as it is, it sort of resembles a square.
Okay.
I think this comes from, there's like four players. There's Rondo and Smart and I don't know, Jeff Green and Avery Bradley, and they're angles, they're corners, and they resemble a square, but they're not a square.
Okay.
That's what I see.
So it's only a square, I guess, if you look through like a weird 3D glasses or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not in reality.
Okay. And they're green. They're green.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
They have to be.
All right, the Brooklyn Nets. I'll start with the Brooklyn Nets. I think I see a slope, right? Like you're standing on top of a slope.
Uh-huh.
And it's white. It's a white slope, and it's going down.
Okay, like you're skiing?
Yeah, yeah, like a ski slope.
Okay. I was going to say, I see a network of triangles as if someone tried to draw the same shape over and over again in a line, but they were a bad... They were drawing with their non-dominant hand or something, so the triangles are sort of lumpen and misshapen.
I see.
And it trails off endlessly.
It's these older legend types, or even Kirilenko, or, you know, somebody.
Yeah, they're sort of melting.
Yeah, they're melting. All right, I'm with that.
they're trying to approximate the glory days of past with, you know, the parts that are, or the players that are sort of broken down. And that's why you get the lumpen triangle thing.
I'm into it. All right, the New York Knicks, Patrick.
The New York Knicks are, okay, so this is a three-dimensional shape. So suppose you're looking at it in, not map, just you're looking at it, and what you see is a circle. It's a perfect circle. And then you walk around behind, and then on the other side of the circle, it's just, it's all fucked up. There's duct tape that's just holding it all together. There's like a bungee cord in there somewhere. And you find out that the circle isn't really a perfect circle. It's sort of being approximated. You know, do you see where I'm going?
No, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, what shape do you think they are?
A pyramid. This is representative of course, the triangle offense. The pyramid, and then there's four faces on a pyramid, right? And
right.
Like the front face is solid and well regarded. Like, it's one of the best pyramid faces.
Yeah.
And it's like a pure, it's like an ancient pyramid. It's a yellow pyramid. And the other two faces are warped, right? And then the back face is just mold.
A what?
Mold. Like mold. Oh. Like rotting mold, like mice and shit.
So we're both sort of hinting at James Dolan and co, I think.
I was actually thinking Bargnani in the mold part.
Oh, he's buried under the pyramid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has to be.
Yeah.
Do you think
that James Dolan will take Andrea Bargnani with him to the afterlife?
I sure hope so.
Oh wow, poor guy.
I wouldn't wish that on Bargnani, but I think he'll try.
Wow, a poor young man. Philadelphia 76ers. I think it's obvious that this is like you take a piece of paper and you burn it and you have the ashes.
Yeah,
that's the shape.
Yeah, I was gonna have like a Mario level where it's a bunch of platforms, but all the platforms are made out of that sort of material where if you step on it, they crumble.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, so like, I'm talking about knee ligaments here.
Oh yeah, I see. I was thinking like you've got these players and they're like basketball players.
Yeah, ostensibly.
But if you step on them, they dissolve.
Is that unique to Philadelphia's basketball players?
Probably. Because
I think if you stepped on me hard enough, I would probably do the same thing.
If you stepped on me hard enough and you also had like no moisture and a lot of heat in your feet.
Oh yeah.
I would dissolve.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I dissolve. It's just another way I exist. The Toronto Raptors.
Two fangs. Interlocking.
I like it.
Yeah, the thing I'm doing with my fingers, those don't look like fangs, but you know what I mean? Like two triangles.
No. Two triangles, like one is pointing up, one is pointing down.
Yeah, I think it's some vaguely Drake-ish imagery. It also connotes a dinosaur chomping.
And it all, you know, there's also like a sense of perfect unity there.
Yeah.
And like this is just a very unified sort of team.
Yeah. We the North and all that.
Yeah. And you know, there's not like a particular standout player. I like it. That's good. Yeah. Now with the Chicago Bulls, I think we have a theoretical shape.
Okay.
That is a sphere, right? It's a sphere and it's a perfect sphere. And everyone recognizes it's a sphere. But the sphere simultaneously doesn't exist.
Okay.
Which is to say that everybody sees and recognizes the sphere, but at the same time, there's an innate, intense feeling amongst everybody looking at the sphere that the sphere isn't real.
Okay. I think I know what you're getting at.
I'm talking about Rose.
Yeah, we're talking about, yeah.
We're talking about the man himself.
This is Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear. What?
Pooh Bear.
Is that what they call Rose?
That's his nickname. Wait, is that his nickname? I sure hope so.
Oh, I sure hope so too.
If not, I'm sorry, Mr. Rose. Is he a best cast ball listener? He is.
Yeah, he loves it.
I think it is his nickname.
Poo.
Yeah. I was going to say that the Bulls are a brick. I was going to go the opposite direction of you. And inside the brick, there's a little hollow. And in the middle is like a bunch of Skittles. Because that represents Derrick Rose's knees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think he likes Skittles a lot, too.
They're a popular candy.
They are.
The NBA intelligence.
How do you feel about the Indiana Pacers?
I think the Indiana Pacers are square. They're a transparent square. There's no other way around this.
Yeah. They're like an Escherian cube where it looks like this three-dimensional shape, but then once you sort of analyze it, it's just a bunch of lines next to each other.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not filled in.
Yeah.
With George's deeds.
You know, a lot of these shapes are kind of a bummer, but I wonder if that's just mostly that we started in the East.
Hopefully we'll get to the West and some of these shapes will be nice. The Detroit Pistons.
Okay, here's what I see.
Okay.
I see a wheel.
Uh-huh.
But then if you look at it in map view, it's a wheel. But then when you tilt your head to the side a little bit here and there, you see the spokes are made out of sand and not metal or anything. But the center at the center of the wheel, whatever that bike part is called, that's good. That's what holds it all together.
The hub.
The hub. Yeah. What do you see?
It's hard for me not to get away from the wheel just because I'm associating with it now. So I see the same wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of it having unreliable spokes, it just has janky spokes. It just has, like, here's a 3 foot long spoke, here's a 2 foot long spoke, here's a 1 foot long spoke, and so it doesn't function as a wheel, right?
It's a real messed up wheel.
Yeah, it's just it's like a wheel I'm riding on, frankly. I break a lot of wheels when I ride bikes. I think that's why I relate to the Pistons.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I relate to them because the team I root for is also bad, and so I sympathize with bad teams who can't pass the ball either.
For a few years there, they were the Kings and the Pistons. I think they're getting out of it now, but they were almost uncannily similar.
Yeah.
Because Monroe and Cousins, they're totally different, like stylistically, but practically they're pretty similar.
I mean, that was sort of a big flashpoint debate for a while, was who's better, who you got?
Yeah.
Well, Monroe, didn't he do the weird qualifying offer thing where he's probably not coming back?
Yeah, it seems like it because he signed a QO.
Yeah. Can't win them all.
The Bucks.
The Bucks. The Bucks. I don't see anything. But then my eyes adjust to the light, mm-hmm. and I look a little closer, and I see like a dome. It's the color of milk.
A milk-colored dome.
Yeah.
You see Tacoma Dome, basically.
I've never been to Tacoma. Is it nice?
No.
Okay, good.
I think I see. It's pink.
It's pink.
I definitely see a pink.
Oh yeah, we've gotten away from colors a little bit.
A little bit, but this. I mean, partially because you know we've been defining things by their structures instead of their emotional componenture. But with the Bucks, I definitely see pink. I don't know what kind of shape though. Maybe a cone.
Yeah.
A pink cone.
Pink cone.
But instead of tightening up to be a perfect cone at the end, it like spreads out again.
Okay.
And then there's like a giant blue rod running through the cone, and that's Larry Sanders.
Larry Sanders.
Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta Hawks.
Triangle. Upside down triangle. I
upside down triangle?
Yeah, it's Horford. It's all I can see.
Upside down triangle? Okay. I was gonna say like an abalone shell shape where it's like you're not sure if it's trying to be a rectangle or a circle. It's just kind of oblong. But it's nice to look at.
Is it one of those shapes where you've got the square right and then you have curved lines around the square and it tricks you into thinking it's different than a square?
I don't think so, but you could definitely be tricked into thinking it's a square.
Okay. Okay.
There's a certain three-dimensionality to it that's hard to see.
Okay. The Charlotte Hornets.
Charlotte Hornets are, I see a rectangle, but on the middle ends, I guess, in the midpoint between corners on two sides opposite each other that's being stretched out like taffy. So you get sort of a pointy former square. Do you see where I'm going?
Okay, so like it has square-like edges at the end, but when it's spreading out, it's...
Yeah, and you're just pulling it out from two points.
It becomes taffy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that one, Patrick.
All right, what do you see when you see the Hornets?
Let's see, we're talking about post-scoring, stout defense, Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker, that's interesting. Okay, I'm going to... This one is a pretty direct physical representation, I think.
Okay.
I see a curve. I see a jagged curve on the outside. That's Stevenson. Then I see, like, in a three-dimensional way, another curve that's a that's an arc that represents Walker's step back, right?
It's like coming at you or away from you?
It's going away from you because it's okay. Walker's step back jumper, right? And then sort of in the middle, and then sort of beyond that, there's like a dark purple sphere, and that's Al Jefferson. Yeah. Does that make sense?
That's a weird shape. It's pretty jazzy.
Yeah.
Not like Utah jazzy, but it's like a modern jazz cover, like an album.
Exactly. You know what? It is a little like a modern jazz cover.
You know, and they have the color scheme for it too.
They really do. I think the Charlotte Hornets might need to get at me about this one.
Yeah.
I think I do. All right, the Miami Heat.
An octagon, sort of, but the octagon doesn't really exist. You know, you can see it from a long distance away, but as you get closer and closer, it's just a bunch of points that don't form in any shape.
Because they lost their lines.
Yeah. Line, and as you get further, James. There we go.
Yeah. Wow, that's hard to hear almost.
I wonder if they miss him. I bet they do.
I do. Oh, I know they do.
Not even in a basketball sense, just a
fun guy to be around.
Yeah, what a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, what a nice fella.
What a good... Hey, I wanted to talk to LeBron about some of the latest news and events.
Oh, yeah?
It's fun to talk to, but he's not. He's gone.
He's
not here anymore.
Send him a tweet. But, you know.
At King James, how do you feel about this? What's going on in the news?
The Ebola.
How do you feel about Ebola?
What's going on there, man? James?
Yeah, LeBron just will prize with quarantine everyone.
SMH at the WHO. let's talk about... Wait, who else is in the Southeast?
There's two more. I'm looking at them.
The Orlando Magics?
The Orlando Magics. M-A-J-I-K-K-S.
Okay, they are like a triangle, but all the edges are really soft. So they're like a little children's toy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really squishy. Like, you can bounce it off everything. It's crazy elastic. And it's blue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's obvious. I mean, look, they're obviously blue.
Mm-hmm.
They picked the perfect color for that team.
They really did.
I think part of the reason they picked the perfect color for that team is that Magic is, of course, a product of the devil and Satan. But blue disassociates from that immediately.
Oh, so it's like it's a cover up.
Yeah, it's a cover up.
So if they had the Heat's color scheme, it'd be too obvious.
Yeah. If the Orlando Magic had the Heat's color scheme, like, everyone would know what that team was really about.
Rich DeVos would just get a pentagram tattoo and show up every game shirtless.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we? There's one more, right?
Yeah, there is one more, and it's the Wizards. And the Wizards are a spring.
A spring?
Yeah, just a orange spring.
Okay.
It's a story like...
That's too easy. Yeah. It's a slam dunk, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time. There was never a time where they weren't an orange spring.
Well, it would have been an orange spring, but it would have been... You'd be going down the spring, down the drain, instead of up the spring, like you're jumping off of it.
Yeah. But so whatever way they're going, they're springing.
Yeah, and it's all orange.
And it's all orange.
Yeah. Every time.
All right, the Pacific Division.
Pacific Division, the finest division there is.
Oh.
When I go to the Arco or the what's it called, Sleep Train Arena.
Sleep Train Arena.
I always see those two Pacific Division champion banners, and I feel a happiness.
I sat underneath the Blazers championship banner once.
How did it feel?
It's amazing. I couldn't even watch the game because I felt its warmth.
Is it glittering? Like, is it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It radiates light.
Someday.
Someday.
Yeah. Maybe not. Anyway, let's talk about the Clippers.
Clippers.
I think the Clippers are a ziggurat.
Why?
Because it's sort of like a pyramid, but it's not quite as smooth, but it's more powerful perhaps because you have the base. And you just build up sort of in segments.
I'm gonna skip forward to the Spurs, who are a black pyramid.
A blank pyramid?
A black pyramid.
A black pyramid, yeah.
The Spurs.
Yeah.
Black pyramid.
Made out of highly, highly compressed carbon. You can't nick anything off it.
No.
It's a whole. It's cohesive.
If you had the world's sharpest knife and you went at the Spurs pyramid, break.
Yeah.
Your knife would break.
Diamond, nothing could handle it.
Yeah. You cannot scratch the Spurs pyramid.
No.
Now, sometimes...
It moves really fast, too. That's another thing they won't tell you. The Spurs pyramid, it's just orbiting.
Yeah. Now, sometimes, maybe Spurs pyramid doesn't get it done because somebody, I don't know, is like things that involve being organic. Like the ziggurat, for instance.
Yeah.
But generally... It's impossible to stop a black pyramid.
That's true.
Made of hyperprocessed carbon.
Yeah.
The Kings. What shape are the Kings? You are an expert in this field.
What shape are the Kings? The Kings are sort of they're like an egg noodle, where it's flat. And they're being stretched out, and as you follow someone's holding it, you know, above. As you follow the egg noodle down, there's a pile of egg noodles at the bottom. And the color goes from blue to pink as you go down.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
The more it reveals, like the stranger it gets.
Exactly. The Kings. Yeah. Sometimes I look at the things that they do and the decisions that they make, and it doesn't seem real.
The Vivek hiring the guy from Grinnell and also suggesting that they use a cherry picker to his coaches is the craziest. That is like something I would make up and write about in basketball.
Yeah, it is. I you might have done that, actually.
Yeah. That and Kobe saying that he used his leg as a tail. I literally was going to write a basketball post about somebody growing a tail in the offseason. And then Kobe said, "I use my leg as a tail." And so
what does that mean?
How does know.
Is a tail?
Well, he just said, I was watching a nature documentary.
As one does.
Yeah, look, I love nature documentaries. I'm not here to cast aspersions or anything, but he said, I was watching a nature documentary, and they said that the cheetah uses his tail for balance, and I thought, hey, I could probably do that with my leg, and so I incorporated it into my fadeaway. He said this to Ariana Huffington, by the way.
Oh, I love it. I'm really excited for Kobe in 5 years. He's now retired. He's just driving his helicopter around, becoming kind of a whiny Slate tech columnist or something.
Oh yeah. That was his other life.
And he's a little, like, he's kind of crotchety. He's kind of wrong about a lot of stuff, but everything he says is so inscrutable, and you can never call him out for it.
Just airtight bad columns.
Yeah. And then. Chris Bosh will get pissed and write about Google Glass for someone.
The Phoenix Suns are... I gotta say, I'm having trouble with this one. Let me close my eyes. Let me imagine it.
While you're imagining, I'm gonna tell the listener what I think they are. I think they are a waterfall where it goes down, the water zigzags, falls into a pool, and then in an impossible M.C. Escher-ish twist, the water is conveyor belted back up to the top, and the water in the waterfall is driving that conveyor belt motion. It's a perpetual motion machine.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating. I agree with you. I also think that it's lit from three sides.
Lit from three sides.
It's lit from three sides.
Okay. Dramatic stage lighting.
Yeah.
Does that also refer to the glut of point guards they have?
Yeah. It refers to the 3-point guards.
I love them.
They're gonna, yeah, it's a good idea. I think I don't know this or anything. Obviously, I don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. But I think that 2-point guard look is the wave of the future.
It is.
Cause I don't know. Cause what is the the shooting guard is dead.
Yeah, I mean, the shooting guard kind of doesn't. I mean, maybe it's a function of how the shooting guard as a position is in decline right now, where you don't really have a ton of offensive threats. They're either spot-up dudes or you're James Harden slasher types.
But even then, like, what does Harden do? Like, Harden is an off-the-dribble pick-and-roll penetrator. Harden is basically...
That's what I'm saying. It's an amalgamation of point guard duties and small forward duties.
But the dude goes out and he works in... And he gets the points. He gets his own points. I mean, I don't know. Who wants that anymore?
Not me.
Michael Jordan can go back in time to where he belongs, if you ask me.
Yeah, thank you very much. Take your jeans with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids... Wesley Matthews is technically a shooting guard, right? And he is, correct me if I'm wrong, of that species known as the 3-and-D.
Yeah. He just, okay. Yeah, he just shoots. He pretty much just shoots.
Yeah, and they're running the McCollum Lillard lineup out these days, right?
Yeah, here and there. I don't know what's gonna happen with that. I think it's a little too early to call what's gonna happen with that. I think, but
well, I'll tell you this much: they're gonna do very well against the Kings tomorrow because Ramon Sessions does not look like he knows what he's doing.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, believe it or not.
Is he starting? Is he starting or is Collison injured? Or
Collison is starting. Sessions is playing on the second unit, which also features luminaries such as Reggie Evans. Nick Stauskas.
I'm not saying anything nice about Nick Stauskas.
Yeah. Nick rocks. Did you see the Grantland documentary thingy where they put cameras in the draft room?
Most of it, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, did you see when they drafted him and Vivek made everyone go, Nick rocks?
No.
So, yeah. And no one wants to do it. Chris Mullin looks like he's just ready to get out of there. And he makes everyone do it. And
like Nick rocks. Nick
rocks. Just on three, just one off. So every time he does anything, I just yell that at my television. Nick rocks.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. It's an affirmation. Okay. Who's next?
Clippers, we did. Lakers, sinkhole.
Yeah. Sinkhole. I was going to say
a golden sinkhole. A golden sinkhole.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a tar pit.
Yeah, made of gold.
Yeah. Okay. Gold, well, there's a thin layer of black on the top, and then there's gold underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how tar pits
work. But it's just like sucking people. Ah.
Yeah.
Golden sinkhole. Yeah. Or Warriors.
Warriors. They are a series of arrows pointing radially outward from a center.
Who's the center?
There is no center. The center is just the butts of all the arrows against each other.
Okay. All right.
What do you see when you see the Warriors?
Yeah,
I sense some skepticism.
I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm a little skeptical of this.
Okay.
I think I see a series of interconnected blue arcs and one red arc, and the red arc is Steph Curry, and the blue arcs is everyone else.
Okay. Are all the blues the same shade?
Bogut is teal.
Bogut. Okay. Yeah. One of these days, he'll tell me his opinion on Quebecois separatism.
He has one, right?
Oh, of course he has one.
Yeah. How could you not? How could he not? I mean, I don't, but...
Yeah, I mean, who knows? All right, is that the Pacific? That's the Pacific.
The Northwest.
I'm throwing this back to you. Let's talk Blazers.
Oh, yeah, the Portland Trail Blazers. Pentagon.
Anything special about this Pentagon?
The Pentagon is aggressively unspecial.
And does that refer to their starting five as the only five basketball players on the team, more or less?
Yeah. And and the fact that they all, like, it's almost eerie. It's uncanny the degree to which they fulfill roles.
I'm picturing myself staring at a pentagon for like 10 minutes and it feels weird.
Yeah, no, it's like a pentagon in an art museum.
Yeah, just you're walking around, you know, you got a little headache, docents are checking you out, make sure you don't touch anything, and you just see this pentagon. And you just look at it.
You just stare at the pentagon.
Yeah. You're not thinking about if you're hungry, you just, it's a pentagon.
Somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey Patrick, we need to go." And he goes, just 1 second, I need to.
Yeah. It's five sides.
Progressing. Is it pentagon yet?
Yeah. You just point at it. And then
you look at it in the context of the other art.
Yeah.
And that heightens its existence too.
And you don't have an opinion. It's never good or bad. It's just there.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
It's compelling.
Yeah.
The Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz.
I feel like a lot of unknowns on the Jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a rock, maybe. Like there a rock that was spray painted, let's say, silver.
Mm-hmm. A silver. That's about spray painted rock.
Yeah.
Okay, I think maybe it's got a crack in the top.
Yeah, most rocks do.
Okay. I studied silver spray painted rock, right?
Yeah.
Crack in the top.
Uh huh.
If you look inside. There's a little bit of glimmer. There's a little bit of glimmer. Yeah.
Is that silver spray paint?
Who knows? That's the thing. It's hard to tell if the glimmer in the rock is silver spray paint or if it's valuable jewels.
And who's to say that it's actually silver spray paint and not a silver rock?
Yeah.
Silver, for example.
Who's to say that it wasn't a silver rock with jewels inside that was also spray painted silver?
Not for me. Not me. I can't say.
Yeah, there's just too many unknowns.
We'll have to find out.
The Oklahoma City Thunder. A crack.
Yeah, and into the crack you pump, let's say, I don't know, just off the top of my head, highly pressurized fluids. And
yeah, you could do that.
Chemicals, and then, but like, what happens?
And then your groundwater lights on fire.
Then you can't.
Maybe the shape is like a column of water, and the column of water, in addition to alluding to the fact that the owners are fracking magnets, the column of water is this blue water, and there's like an implied consistency there, but there is also like fire at the top that represents,
yeah,
the inconsistency both of Westbrook and of the franchise in a way.
Yeah, because for how good and stable they've been, the Thunder are a weird team.
Yeah. And on state, if anybody, like, with Durant's injured right now, and it's an unstable compound if you take that one thing out of it.
Let me ask you something, Corbin. Do you think Durant or Westbrook or both will finish their careers with the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I really think Durant is probably going to leave.
Yeah, in 2016?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What if they win the title?
I don't know. I don't think they will, I guess. But
yeah,
that isn't necessarily like against them personally. I just think that nobody really wins the title.
Yeah. Just that Black Pyramid just keeps spinning.
Yeah, it's like the Black Pyramid or the Fist of God.
Yeah.
Well, the Fist of God is LeBron.
Yeah. Wait, did we talk about... We skipped the Cavs.
Yeah, I think we did.
We skipped the Cavs. Okay, let's
red,
go back.
Red Fist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Big, powerful Red Fist. If you touch it, it burns. If it hits your house, it knocks your house over.
One of the Knuckles thinks that he is the whole fist, and that's Dion Waiters.
And also on the fist, it says...
Butts.
Butts. Yeah, it says butts. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are shaped like a pill.
A pill.
And this alludes to the seasonal depression that hits their area. And they are, in a way, the medication for the oppressive winter that is happening all the time. But the thing about this pill is that it's not a good pill.
What's inside the pill, Corbin?
I wouldn't say poison, but it's not making you feel better enough.
So it's like those like silica gel packets and like or something.
Yeah, you're taking a silica gel packet, but like kind of a healthy silica gel packet.
I was gonna say that the wolves, this shape kind of requires motion. It's like a CD case. Remember those? Remember the 90s? Where it's upside down, and the empty sleeves are just flapping back and forth.
Oh wow.
And I don't have any basketball reasons for that. I just find that image.
It sounds like the CD is Kevin Love.
CD's out of the case. And the case is just looking for more CDs. There we go. We figured it out.
Is Wiggins an MP3 in this situation?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He's like an iPod.
But maybe he doesn't fit in the case.
Yeah, and you need a pocket for that. You need a case.
Yeah.
All right.
The Denver Nuggets.
I see like a spade, like of a shovel.
Yeah.
And then the handle is like just a bunch of cords, so you can't really get like any kind of strong digging in action with your shovel because it's just a shovel with cords attached to it.
Like you would have to take the ends of the shovel and like shove it into the ground a little bit to get it to work as a shovel.
Yeah, or you could like swing it around your head, but you don't want to do that.
You could use it to attack somebody.
Yeah, in like a war scenario or something, but
as a shovel.
Yeah, it's a shovel. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, the Pelicans, I think, are a. It's hard to get away from Davis when thinking about the Pelicans.
Yeah,
and Davis, I think, is long lines. Long curves.
Yeah.
I think what I'm seeing is like a sort of center made out of curves, made out of perfect curves.
So like hair. Is that what you're talking about? Because I'm picturing just like...
Less arbitrary in form, I think.
Okay.
And then lines jutting out of the curves with purpose.
Okay. Okay. I can't dispute that. I like it.
I think that came a little too close to just describing human beings.
Yeah, that or Superman's home in one of the old Superman movies, where it's just a bunch of rocks sticking out in like spiry directions.
You know what? I could get behind regarding Anthony Davis as the Fortress of Solitude.
I like it. Is that what his home is called?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I think that's what he's called.
The Smoothie King Center doesn't get a lot of attendees, so it kind of works on that level too.
Smoothie King Center.
The Smoothie King Center. Is that better or worse than Power Balance Pavilion?
I think the problem with Power Balance Pavilion is that was like literally a scam. Like a scam was sponsoring.
Maloofs forever.
Yeah, God bless them.
I know. I remember when we used to go to Kings games a lot when I was a little kid. We sat near the Maloof suite, and I remember it was an important game down the playoff stretch, and I turned around and Gavin Maloof is just sleeping. He is laying back in his chair. I just remember like he was the most asleep person I'd seen. He was out.
Look, obviously that's ridiculous, but on a certain level I can understand if you watch every game. I've fallen asleep during a basketball game on television. And
I fell asleep yesterday. I'm very sick, but I mean, I was going to fall asleep anyway, probably.
The Houston Rockets.
Houston Rockets
are a square.
Uh huh. Tell me about the square.
It's a well constructed square. It's logical. But the square is colored. It's like sort of light. Neon-y purple.
Okay.
And what this light neon-y... So it's a perfect square. This represents the construction of the team by Mari. A logical construction.
Yeah.
But then the neon purple is neurosis. Because this team is very logically constructed, but Howard in particular, and Harden to a degree, and even... You know, the sort of instability, the idea of collecting assets and how much it dominates that franchise, it really makes this square that's well constructed seemed very neurotic, I think.
Yeah, you'd look at that square and you'd acknowledge that's a nice looking square, but that square sucks.
I think you said sucks, and I respect where you're coming from with regards to this square. I just think the square has so much vulnerability.
Perhaps I was being too harsh. What I meant was there's something uneasy about that square.
Yeah, yeah. I think Howard I think is of all recent NBA stars the one who sort of projects uneasiness the most.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know. Maybe the square really is just Howard, but like he's perfect in so many, like, well, he's tremendous in so many ways, but he's like insecure about the post game.
Yeah.
He's always making jokes. He's very you know, he seems needy.
Yeah.
He seems like a neurotic person, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I like the square idea. We going Mavs now?
Mavs. I'm saving the last one for last.
Okay. I'm excited.
Okay.
The Mavs are like a box.
Uh-huh.
Within a box.
Uh-huh.
Within a box. Within a box. It's just they're nested and it fits really well together. But you look at the box, just the external box, all you see is, you know, a cube.
What box is Nowitzki?
He is the guy holding the box. He runs the whole show.
Oh, man. Patrick, I can't even begin to tell you how much I want to see a picture of Dirk Nowitzki holding a box right now.
Well, you might be able to. He's probably held a box before. Dirk Nowitzki holding a box.
Let's see what we've got.
He's holding the NBA championship trophy.
That is not a box. That is
you can encase some things in there, but it's not a box. It's not what I'm talking about.
I'm not seeing any boxes.
The NBA Finals MVP trophy, or whatever trophy he's holding in that picture, that has a box below a basketball. I don't think it's ever happened.
I want it at waist level. If anybody is listening to this and you have a connection to the Mavs, I would pay $1 million. For a picture of Dirk Nowitzki with a box.
I will mail you lunch or something.
Wow. We'll mail somebody lunch.
I'll mail somebody lunch.
Hot lunch? Will you mail them a hot lunch?
It can become a hot lunch. If they choose.
Microwavable box. You're just gonna mail somebody a TV dinner.
Well, no. Probably not.
All right.
If someone gets a box, then we can figure out.
Last... and almost certainly most, what shape and color are the Memphis Grizzlies? Is it order? Is it chaos? Who knows?
I hesitate to ascribe a shape to them. I feel like geometry is sort of...
it's not good enough. Yeah,
you can't quantify anything meaningful. Like they're like a buckyball, which is that... it's that mysterious, a bunch of scientist types, you know, those guys created it synthetically, and I think it's a three-dimensional series of carbon rings that you can like use to soak up and hold some. Let's see.
Okay, it is cage-like fused ring structure, which represents a soccer ball made of 20 hexagons and 12 pentagons.
I used to know more about it, but the thing I'm getting at here is that they are the most shape, and the buckyball is the most shape that exists.
I'm with this.
If there is an outer limit to geometry, if that exists, this is it.
It's beautiful.
You know, it's symmetrical in a ton of different directions, but it's not...
but it has so many parts. There's a chaos.
Yeah. You know, and if you depending on how you look at it, for what your perspective is, you can see innumerable things.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Just like the Grizzlies.
Just like the Grizzlies.
What a team.
For the Grizzlies.
Your 2015 NBA
champion. Whenever I listen to something or read something where somebody's burying the Grizzlies,
Nah.
It isn't just nah. It's like, why, like, why do you want this?
Yeah.
This is a beautiful thing. This is an incredible thing. They start a shooting guard who can't shoot. That he's not starting right now.
On purpose. Oh, they, yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
They go, oh, yeah, the second guard on the... You know, when I was talking about the Phoenix Suns a while ago, you know, I think that's probably the future. The Tony Allen thing is just like, it's like an alternate universe.
Yeah, they're like, they're pretty Neolithic as a team, but it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always like that what a lot of basketball theorist types say about the Grizzlies is if they could shoot the basketball, they would be really good. And they don't need to.
And they wouldn't, I mean, they also wouldn't, they wouldn't be the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, why would they? I'm glad we arrived here.
I really am too. I feel like I'm ready for the season now.
Yeah. Did those first 2 days count?
No.
Did the Grizzlies play? They might have.
They did. They beat the Timberwolves.
Oh, well, you know, on a long enough timeline, all of us beat the Timberwolves.
I have beat the Timberwolves.
I haven't yet. I will one of these days.
Hey, I'm really pulling for you, Pat.
Thank you, Corbin.
All right. Hey, thanks for talking to me today.
Of course. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you to Patrick for being with us today. You can read Patrick over at Vice Sports or various other places, or follow him on Twitter at Patrick Redford. Thank you for listening today. My name is Corbin Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin A. Smith. I leave you with a reading from the greatest of all American poets, Emily Dickinson. There is an arid pleasure as different from joy, as frost is different from dew, like element are they. Yet one rejoices flowers, and one the flowers abhor. The finest honey curdled is worthless to the bee.